Good evening, everybody. First and foremost, I want to thank the League of Women Voters, Trish, and everybody else involved in the League of Women Voters for asking both Anthony and myself to come this evening to speak to you. Secondly, and just as important, I want to thank Anthony Cobb. And the reason for that is earlier today, Anthony and I had a number of different meetings. And during that, I grabbed a few minutes and I said, are we going to dress in dress uniforms tonight or are we going to dress in suits? And fortunately for me, Anthony decided, or at least he suggested, that we wear suits, and I immediately jumped on the bandwagon and agreed. And I'll tell you why. Quick story, 20 plus years ago, I was, as a young police officer, saying, if I was ever king for a day, who would have guessed 20 years later I became the chief of police for the city of Urbana, but if I were ever king for a day, I think one of the best and most innovative ways of getting to meet the community is to go to a different church each Sunday and meet the people in that congregation. And lo and behold, last year the mayor appointed me as the police chief, and I held true to that commitment from 20 years past. So I did a bit of research, and I would have never in a million years guessed that in the city of Urbana there are 52 churches. 52. Now, what I would do each day, now I've had some problems at home with some healthcare issues with my dad up in Milwaukee and whatnot, so I haven't been able to go religiously every weekend, no pun intended, but I would put on my dress uniform and each week I would go to a different church. And invariably I was greeted with, initially with, what's wrong? So already we have a problem in our community with the police and the community interacting. And I would say absolutely nothing is wrong. Here's who I am and here's what I'm doing and here's why I'm doing it. And then everybody relaxes and they feel fantastic. And then I would go to the service and invariably, and I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but invariably, the reverend involved or the priest of that particular church ultimately gets my business card and then he introduces me. And so far, the record is pretty strong. It's about 77% of the time out of the 47 churches that I've attended so far, they would introduce me as, and I would like to introduce Pat Connolly, the Urbana Fire Chief. I would like to, Reverend Thomas, right over there from Mount Olive, he can attest to it. So, the great news is we don't have to wear that silly getup that invariably I will be identified as the fire chief anyhow, so I want to thank Anthony for allowing me to come in this getup. So, as I understand it, what we're going to do is I'm going to share a little bit about the concept of community policing within the city of Urbana since I started as the chief, and then Anthony's going to share some information about the direction Champaign's going to take it, and then we're going to open it up to a lot of different questions. And I want to clarify this up front, and because I'm sure invariably one of you are going to ask, what do you think about, or how has it been since Anthony's departed? This tonight is exactly the reason why our loss was our gain in Urbana. For years, I can tell you that there has been just a difference in philosophy with respect to working together as a community. There was a problem in Champaign, and Champaign handled that problem. Nobody else got involved. If there was a problem in Urbana, nobody else got involved in the law enforcement community. And that, I think, is a huge mistake, and it's something that we need to strive to break that barrier. And fortunately, with Anthony's philosophy, it's already been proven time and time again in the short time that he's been here, but I'm so excited that finally we can work together as a police community and address community issues together. And that's so important that we do it, because two things I say in the community policing arena. One is there's virtually no way that we, the police, can solve all the problems. We have to have the help of the public. We have to engage with the community. We have to work with you to identify problems and then work at them together to solve them, or we're going to keep chasing calls for service, or the violent crime continues to go up and we never get any final solution to any of the problems. So that is probably the most important message that I'm going to carry tonight, is that it's virtually impossible for us to do it by ourselves. And that's why I'm so excited tonight to talk about community policing, because together I can share some of the initiatives that we've started, but most importantly I can share the word that we're not done, we haven't attained our goal, we got to continually strive for it, and that we need to work together in order to be able to do that. All right? So first let me give, I need to paint a picture, I guess, initially of a little bit about our police department so you have a better understanding, because oftentimes people are absolutely shocked when they hear that there are five Urbana police officers on the street and we had a shooting, and now you guys are calling about a critical event in Urbana and you're wondering why it's taking so long for the police to get there. So let me first by just lay the foundation and tell you why it's important that we work together and the police can't do it by ourselves. We have 71 total employees, 55 of which are sworn police officers. It's broken myself, I'm the chief. Anthony was the assistant chief. Now Sylvia Morgan is the assistant chief of police. And then we have three lieutenants, and the five of us comprise the leadership team of the police department. Initially, we had Bryant Serafin is the lieutenant in charge of our criminal investigation section, our detectives, and we have six detectives that handle both juvenile and adult crimes. And historically, we had one lieutenant who was in charge of all of the patrol division with 10 sergeants and 31 police officers. And for any former military folks in here, the span of control was outrageous. Virtually impossible to be able to do that. So last year, we changed that format a lot so that we could better serve the community. And what we did was split it into a lieutenant in charge of the North District and a lieutenant in charge of the South District. So Rich Searles is the lieutenant from Main Street North, is responsible for addressing the needs in the community on the north side of the city. And Bob Fitzgerald is the lieutenant who is in charge of the south side. So that's kind of this, I think you need, just so you can visualize how the police department is structured so that when we start talking about the programs, you have a better understanding. Also historically, what we did was had police officers, and when police respond for the evening to work in a geographic area, it's called a beat, also called a zone. So if I refer to the different zones or beats, we're talking about the geographic location which that police car is working that evening. So that we didn't bore the officer in years past, we had police officers rotate their beats on a daily basis. The problem that we saw with that was we needed police officers to work the same beat assignments so that they could get to meet the people in their neighborhoods, so that they could better understand the cars that should and should not be in that neighborhood, and that they could get out and get to meet the people there. And going to a different beat assignment each night just wasn't working. So we changed that format so that we had fixed beat assignments. And we did that because of our FOP contract. We have 6-month sign-up rotations. So by seniority, officers would sign a geographic beat where they would work. But now we have them on a fixed beat assignment so that they work during that 6 months. And the good news is, as we get more buy-in, believe me, folks, the police culture is probably one of the toughest cultures in the world to change. Everything is tradition. It's like the military. It's the way we always did it. Therefore, that's the way we're going to continue to do it. Unfortunately, that doesn't work in this day and age. So we need creative, innovative ideas to try to interact with the community and get people, police especially, more involved in the community. So we started programs like police bike programs. Get them out of squad cars and riding bicycles during appropriate weather. Get them out and walking and meeting and greeting in the community. Most importantly, what we started last year, and actually I say we, quite honestly, all the credit goes to Bob Fitzgerald from the South District Commander, who started a really recreating the whole concept of Neighborhood Watch. Now, I know it's got some bad connotations, especially because of Florida, but I'm not talking about vigilantism. I'm talking about the police and the community actually working together and trying to identify problems in their geographic location and then working on solutions to solve those problems. So Bob Fitzgerald, we had a rather dormant Neighborhood Watch committee. Actually, we had two in the city, and they weren't very involved. Bob kind of rekindled that, actually put a great deal of effort into reaching out to the people in the community. And I can tell you that right now we have 18 active Neighborhood Watch groups, and some of them are incredibly large. In fact, at one of the meetings I was at on South Philo Road in one of the churches, we actually had 73 people from one neighborhood attend the function. And it was, if any of you recall, we had a horribly tragic, thank God it didn't end up in the death, but we had a horribly serious situation about a year and a half ago involving a 78-year-old woman. Someone came, knocked on the door, asked if someone was present. Unfortunately, she opened the door for him just to tell him, no, he doesn't live here. He forced entry. He tried to rob her. He locked her in a closet, tied her up, left her for dead. And but for the grace of God, an astute postal carrier noticed that the door was cracked and noticed that there were some letters that were not being collected. He called the police. We went there. We searched the whole house and didn't find her. Fortunately, one of our officers stopped, listened, heard some moaning. We were able to move some furniture, and we found a woman who had been barricaded in a closet for 3 days. So I shared that story with these 70 folks that attended this meeting and said, you know, this is why it's so important that we get together as a community and that we share these types of tragedies so that we can all learn from them. And as I'm sharing all of this, all these people are looking right up at the front row. And finally, that's why I wear a gold badge, you know, the detective in me realizes the woman who was locked in that closet was sitting in the front row. Now, that's a brave gal, isn't it? But I mean, that's the kind of effort that we strive for and try to work for so that we can work together as a community rather than just saying the police have to deal with this problem and I don't want to get involved. So that's really, unfortunately, sad that oftentimes that's the attitude in our community, but we're trying to break that. The other thing we're doing, and I noticed Teresa Michelson, who's a big, big supporter and involved in the SUNA, the Southeast Urbana Neighborhood Association, but she's really involved in those regional grassroots efforts that are saying, we have a problem on this particular street, and we have a problem in this geographic boundary. But we can't solve the problem just with the police, so we need to get more people involved. So the city community development folks and our legal folks and our public works folks sit down, talk about different strategies that we have to identify problem properties. SUNA, WUNA, UCAP, the northwest part of the city, these are all organizations that we're also attending meetings regularly. In fact, we have a SUNA meeting coming up. So we attend these meetings so that we can engage with the community so that we can better do our job and better serve the people in our community. So I keep emphasizing that, and I think it's really important that people understand when we try to initiate these types of projects, you know, oftentimes people say, well, we need statistical stuff. I'm going to refer you to, actually, we have two different things. One is on our website. I know nothing about websites. I know nothing about Facebook, but we have both of them. And for your grandkids or kids, Facebook is just like, Facebook and Twitter are the ways to communicate nowadays. So Rich Searles brought us into the 21st century, created a Facebook page, created a website specifically for the police department so that we can not only engage in our day-to-day communication with our neighborhood watch groups and our regional groups, but we can refer folks to the website for a variety of different things. One of the things I would encourage all of you to take a look at is the Neighborhood Watch Checklist book. And this is available online, and we also have them at the Urbana Police Department. But this book really gives you a lot of foundational stuff if you are thinking about creating your own neighborhood watch group. Now, the good thing that we do, and I don't want to steal Anthony's thunder, but the thing that we do that we haven't done a good job of in the past, Anthony was introduced as our first community police officer, and he worked like a dog. In fact, he worked 22 hours a day. He carried a pager, and he constantly tried to address all the needs of our community with that pager on his hip 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it was overwhelming. He did an incredible job, but as time went on, we started changing our philosophy a little bit, we as a police agency, and started buying into the concept that a community police officer isn't going to solve it. But if every police officer on this 55-man department said, I'm going to do my part to engage with the community, then we had 55 community police officers. So our philosophy today is, you call us and say, I'm interested in a neighborhood watch group. We find out where you live. One of the officers that's assigned to that fixed beat will then go with this pamphlet or information about it. We'll figure out when you want the meeting. We will sit down. We will meet with you. We will identify the problems together, plan some strategies together, and then that officer will act as the liaison between that neighborhood watch group and the rest of the city. And I neglected earlier to say, I said community development and the mayor and public works. The mayor's office was incredibly involved in the project when it first started with the whole neighborhood safety task force and other projects that got the people more engaged with the community. So we got a lot of support from her office as well. The other thing, in addition to this document, which has a lot of great basic information to start addressing the problem, we have an online website. It's called crimereports.com. Just type in crimereports.com, and it will pull up this Champaign-Urbana community. And then you can drill down from crimereports.com in Champaign-Urbana to just the city of Urbana, to just the southeast part of Urbana, to just Silver Street, to just the 1300 block of Silver Street. You can literally drill. I used Silver Street. I shouldn't have. I meant Broadway. Look at Teresa's cringing because she said, no, we fixed all those problems on Silver Street. Sorry about that. I don't mean Silver Street. Any street in the city of Urbana. And what we can do is almost track real-time criminal activity. Every 8 hours, we automatically enter all of our crime reports into this program. It identifies all of the registered sex offenders. It identifies all the different categories of crimes that took place so that people in our neighborhood watch groups don't have to rely on, you know, we really need that statistical information for our next meeting. They can actually retrieve it on their own. So that's something that's very, very helpful and it's useful. It's a relatively new program for us, but we absolutely love it because it gets the information out more quickly. Oftentimes what we find is when we have information that's available, it becomes very stagnant because the officer is gone for a period of time or the neighborhood watch representative is out of town for a period of time. So the two are never able to meet, and before long it's been 3 months before a meeting. We encourage folks to get together on a monthly basis, and we're more than willing to send the police officers to that location so that we can sit down and collaborate together. That's just one of the other areas that we've talked about, and I think overall, I'm getting close here, I know. I think overall, the concept and although I've created some new programs, although I've tried to rejuvenate some things with respect to buy-in from the local law, the local police officers, our police officers within the Urbana Police Department, so many of them are so committed. When I said earlier, we're talking about 42,000 people in the city of Urbana with 55 police officers providing all those police services. So it's very tough. We are actually requiring them to do more with less manpower. And that's a difficult thing for us to do. But we also understand that we've got some incredibly difficult economic times throughout the country. So we're going to have to accept that and do the best we can. What I will tell you is this in closing, certainly we will never be, I often hear people say, we'll never not be there for a 911 call. And that's true, we won't. Anytime somebody calls and said, I need your help, Champaign, the county, the University of Illinois Police, any one of our police officers, I assure you, will be there within a matter of minutes to help you. But beyond that, our goal, our mission of the Urbana Police is to enhance the quality of life in the city of Urbana. So we're going to do that cooperatively by working with you folks within the framework of the Constitution. And we're going to enforce the laws, preserve the peace, and reduce the fear of crime. And the only way that we can do that is by working together. So that's kind of the direction I have taken the, well, I have continued to take. Mike Bealey made tremendous strides in doing that. Eddie Adair before him had some really innovative ideas for that time. But the times are a-changing, and we need to keep changing with them. All righty, thank you.